Hi, welcome to First Press Church Podcast. At the end of this message, please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast channel or our YouTube channel for the latest Sunday messages. We're so glad to have you be a part of our worship from afar. It is our prayer that this message will ignite a fire in your spirit for a closer walk with God.
Well, good morning. You guys sounded like you meant it a little bit more than the 9 o'clock service did. Well done. Well done. Thanks, Chris. Hey, I'm going to invite you to turn to John chapter 15 as we continue in our Insta series. And there's an ornery part of me with this series that wants to say, come on, hurry up. Let's get there as quick as we can. But in reality, this month, we are acknowledging the limitations of a rushed life. And we are looking for a better way. And so that's what we want to do in today's passage as part of this series. But before we go to it, let's go to God in prayer. And let's ask him to lead us in our understanding of it. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, once again, today you place before us a feast. A feast of your word. And we are hungry. We want to grow in you. We want to learn from you. We want to follow more closely after you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would lead us in this time, that we would understand what you desire to say to us. Please give us eyes that we can see. Give us ears that we can hear. Give us minds that we would receive, and give us hearts that we would respond. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus begins our passage in verse 8 of John 15, and he says to his disciples, and he says to us, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The word of the Lord. You never fully know what to experience when you come to worship on a Sunday morning. One Sunday years ago, I returned to my car after worship to find that someone had blanketed all the cars throughout the parking garage with flyers under our windshields that read, "Needed 42 people to lose weight, no willpower needed." Okay. Then there's a promotion I received in the mail one day. It read, "We'll do all the work. You make all the money. Amazing amounts of money can be earned without working." Okay. And you know, we shake our heads at both of those approaches. No willpower needed, no working necessary. But let's be honest about what they're tapping into. Most, if not all of us here, would much rather prefer to get things quickly rather than to have to wait for them. An easy path to financial security. An easy path to weight loss. An easy path to trust in a new relationship. An easy path to, well, you fill in the blank. And that doesn't really sound so bad, does it? But the problem with our quick fix efforts is that they rarely satisfy in the long run. Gordon MacDonald talks about so much of what we pursue in life as like cotton candy to the digestive system. He said it initially tastes good, but it leaves little of lasting value. The passage that we have before us is a continuation of Jesus' message in John 15, telling us that when we are in relationship with him, we will experience lasting change. And he says in our opening verse, in verse 8, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." As Christ's life flows through us, we bear fruit. We take on his qualities. We begin to look more like him. But that doesn't happen instantly, and it's not easy. Lasting qualities take time to grow and to develop. Have you ever picked and eaten a berry that wasn't ripe? Not something you want to do very often. Fruit isn't instant. It requires time to ripen and to mature. And when it does, it can taste really good. Elsewhere in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul identifies 9 lasting qualities that he refers to as fruit of the Holy Spirit, evidence of God at work within us. And over the next 3 weeks of this series, we're going to look at the first 3 qualities on Paul's list: joy, love, and peace. Because interestingly, Jesus is talking about each of these qualities right here in this section of John. And so today's theme is insta-joy. Would you like a joy that is deeper and more consistent than what you sometimes experience? I suspect every one of us here longs to live joyful lives. And that makes sense. One of my favorite seminary professors, Lou Smeeds, observed, "You and I were created for joy. And if we miss it, we miss the reason for our existence." Too often, though, we seek to experience joy in moments that are fleeting. We pursue activities or we pursue interests, hoping that they will make us feel good, that they will bring joy to our lives. Do you remember the joy we felt when Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl? That didn't last very long, did it? There's no such thing as insta joy. Happiness that's fueled by our circumstances will fade more quickly than we would like. In contrast, Jesus offers a joy that matures over time in ways that is lasting, in ways that is meaningful. It's a joy that is a reservoir that runs deep within us, that remains even when externals around us change. Does that sound like something you might be interested in? Well, let's take some time to unpack Jesus' words to us here. And the first element that we see is our offer of joy. Our offer of joy. Jesus says to us in verse 11, "I have told you this so that your joy may be complete." New Testament scholar Dale Bruner translates this, "that your own personal joy can be filled to overflowing." Can you hear the promise here? That you and I can be filled to the brim with a fullness of joy. A joy that's not dependent upon what's going on externally, but it has everything to do with the slow, steady cultivation of our souls within. This joy is a fruit of Jesus' work within us. It's grounded deep within, growing and maturing over time. The Old Testament prophet Habakkuk experienced this joy. In a time when his nation was threatened and the future looked bleak, Habakkuk wrote these words, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Well, what's the difference between this joy and the joy that we sometimes pursue in our lives? I think Moises Silva put it well when he said, our rejoicing depends not on changing circumstances, but on the one who does not change. We experience lasting joy when we seek it from the one who fills us with joy, who offers a deeper, more lasting reservoir of joy than what we can experience elsewhere. And this leads to our second element from this passage, our source of joy. For you see, Jesus also said in verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. Think about it. Jesus invites us to experience his joy. And that is no small thing. Dallas Willard once wrote, we should think that God is full of joy. Undoubtedly, he is the most joyous being in the universe. Friends, if anyone knows joy, it's Jesus. And basically what he is saying here in this passage is, I will put my joy into you. Jesus isn't offering a better experience than we can find elsewhere. Jesus is offering himself. And the more we have of Jesus, the more we have of his joy. You could say that Jesus becomes our reason for joy as his life flows in and through us. But please know that as wonderful as this passage is, Jesus is not offering joy to us so that we can personally hoard it within. He wants our joy to be contagious. And that makes sense because joy reaches its fullest expression when it ripples outward to those who are around us. Sharing our joy with others deepens it within us and it reinforces it among them. Isn't that what we're doing here this morning? Each of us bringing our own individual joyful worship, finding it multiplied by the joyful worship of others who are around us. Jesus noted earlier in this passage that as we display fruit in our relationship with him, we reveal him to the world around us. And the same is true when it comes to joy, that as we experience Christ's joy, others are more easily able to see him within us. That's why Samuel Shoemaker made the observation, the surest mark of a Christian is not faith or even love, but joy. We have here in front of us a wonderful promise of joy. But please remember that it doesn't happen instantly and it doesn't happen easily. The growth and maturation of this fruit is a lifetime process. And so that leads us to our third element of this passage, our path to joy. Jesus says in verses 9 and 10, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Friends, anytime you see something repeated by Jesus, a word or a phrase, that tells you it's pretty important. And in the first 10 verses of this chapter 15 of John, Jesus uses the word remain 11 times. That tells us this is a pretty important concept to him. Twice here, we're encouraged to remain in Jesus' love. And he offers himself as an example, saying, as he remains in the Father's love. Now, the Greek word for joy, chara, refers to something that comes from deep within, that's deeply a part of a root system. And only as we remain in Jesus can we access God's presence here within us. The more deeply rooted we become in our source of joy, the more we will experience this joy. Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day." Well, how do we choose joy day after day after day? We do so by remaining connected to the author of our joy. And doesn't that make sense? Who here would water a garden with a hose that's not connected to the faucet? No one here would read a book at night under a lamp that's not plugged into the wall. And we can't experience the joy promised here by Jesus unless we are closely connected with him. But how do we remain in Jesus in a way that enables us to experience this joy? Well, he tells us in verse 10, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And it's important that we get the order of things correct here. It's not that we keep his commands and then Jesus loves us. No, it all starts with Jesus loving us. And we want to respond by keeping his commands. We want to do what's important to him. We want to live out the values that are a part of who he is. And as we seek to become like Jesus by living out what's important to him, we begin to take on more of his characteristics, like joy. When our lead pastor, Tim, kicked off this series last week, he said something that I think we need to remember each week as we go through this series. He says, this is about habits. This is about practices. This is about priorities. It's a way of life. How will we know what God's commands are unless we are immersed in his word? And how will we be reminded of what's important to God without these weekly gatherings of worship together? And how can we acknowledge when we fall short of God's desires without a regular practice of prayer? We become grounded in the rich soil of Jesus' love and his joy by spending time with him that allows his joy to flow in and through us. Let me share one personal example today of how I try to live out, however imperfectly, this command to remain in Jesus. One of the things I try to do is to take 20 minutes or so and just sit with God. It's not a time of prayer. It's not a time of scripture reading. I'm just trying to physically place myself in God's presence for that period of time. And I will tell you that throughout that time, my mind wanders far more than I wish it did. But the reason I keep doing it is because of the image I have in mind. The image of a child who simply sits in the lap of their parent. And I picture that that is what I am doing. I'm not asking for anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm simply trying to sit in the lap of God during that time as a way of remaining with Him. Friends, there is much in this world that will dampen our joy, that can steal it from our hearts. And so we need a source of joy that won't change even when life changes. A few weeks ago, I visited one of our elderly members in the hospital. And I won't tell you her name, but I will tell you three things about her. First, by the time I was able to visit, she had been hospitalized for nearly 48 hours. Second, she was having a hard time walking, and she knew that even when she was released, walking would continue to be a challenge for her throughout her life. And third, she had the most beautiful smile throughout that entire visit. She was living out what the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians when he said, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. It was obvious that she was drawing from a deep, deep reservoir of joy that Jesus offers to us in this passage. And her circumstances could not extinguish that joy. Would you like to experience this same joy in your life? Would you like Jesus to pour His joy into you? Would you like a deeper, more consistent joy than you may sometimes experience? If so, hold tight this week to this promise of an overflowing joy. And shift from looking for joy from external satisfactions to drawing it from the one who will not change. And find ways day after day after day this week of remaining in God, of remaining close enough to Jesus, trying to be enough like Jesus that His life and His joy will flow through you. And as we do this, we will experience the fruit, the lasting fruit, the meaningful fruit that comes from a relationship with God. And we will mark ourselves to the world as His disciples as they see His qualities within us. And we will discover, as we go along, a joy that is complete, a joy that is overflowing, a joy that is filled to the brim. Friends, that is Jesus' promise to us today. Let's pray together. Oh, Holy God, thank You for Your willingness, Your desire to pour Your joy into us. I pray this morning for those who are here that life is just hard enough right now. The idea of joy just feels like a foreign concept. Lord, would You please meet us there? And I pray for each of us that You would help us better understand what it means to remain in You, and that we would hold in front of us this promise of a joy, not a temporary, fleeting joy, but a joy from You that is lasting. Lord, please work within each of us that we might taste of this, that we might spread this to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Once again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you live in the Colorado Springs area, we'd love to have you here on Sunday mornings. To find us online, just search First Pres Colorado Springs.